The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord. If we look at the world today, November 29th, 2020. We all recognize that the entire world in this moment is living in chaos. There is a crisis happening in the world. And for those of us who are familiar with certain passages from the Bible, many of us may begin to question, number one, are we living in the end times? And number two, is the second coming of Jesus soon? Now, to the first question, are we living in the end times? Theologically, we've been living in the end times. Ever since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, we have been living in the end times. But to the second question, will Jesus Christ come soon? In the scriptures, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the second coming will be preceded by famine, by wars, nation rising up against nation, by plagues and pestilence. If we look at the world today, there's violence not only happening in the streets of America, but there's violence happening all over the world. There's the coronavirus, which has affected the church, not only in America, but the church all over the world. For the first time, I think, since the church's history 2,000 years ago, since the church began, public masses were not celebrated all over the world, not just locally, but in Europe, in Africa, all over this was happening because of this plague. There's fighting, there's poverty, there's famine. Are we living in the end times, and are we preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ? That's what Advent season is all about. Advent season is all about preparing ourselves not only for Christmas, but for the second coming of Jesus. And he will come again. But none of us will ever know the day or the hour. If you ever hear someone say to you, "I know that the second coming is happening this year, on this day, at this time," they are a false prophet. Because Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. But we can discern the signs of the times that we are living in. And we can say with caution, perhaps we are living in that time in preparation for the second coming of Christ Jesus. So how then do we prepare? How do we prepare for the second coming of Jesus? Some of us would say, well, I'm just going to turn to my pastors. I'm going to turn to the clergy. But we look at the clergy in the world today, and there are priests who are fighting against priests. We don't know where they stand, or we don't know if they are even in line with the church because of some of their homilies or because of some of the things they post on social media, some of the things they say and some of the words they write. And not only are there priests fighting against priests in these times, but there are bishops who are fighting against other bishops. Not only are there bishops fighting against bishops, but there are cardinals who are fighting against cardinals. We don't know who to trust. So we can't turn to our clergy and say, well, you're the ones who we're going to turn to help us to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. But some people will say, well, then we'll just turn to some pretty solid theologians, some theologians who we know are orthodox, who are in line with the church. We're going to read their books and go to their blogs and watch their videos. But no matter how orthodox and how sound a theologian might be, he or she is not infallible. Theologians were not given the grace of infallibility. That's not something that was bestowed upon them by the Holy Spirit. And so even if they are sound, they can still be wrong. And they, as good as they might be, can still lead us astray. So if we're not turning to the clergy, we can't turn to the theologians, then where do we go? During times of crisis, typically, a lot of mystics will begin to surface. A lot of visionaries and seers, people who have locutions, who allegedly hear the voice of God, or experience apparitions, who allegedly see the face of Jesus, or the Blessed Mother, or some of the saints, or the angels. We've had apparition saints throughout the history of the church. And so during times of crisis, typically, new alleged prophets pop up. And we say, well, maybe we'll go to them because these are men and women of prayer. I see them praying their rosaries and going to Mass and encouraging us to fast. I know they're rooted in the interior life. And they might be. And they might legitimately be experiencing apparitions, visions of beings from heaven. They might legitimately be hearing the voice of God or the Blessed Mother or their angels or saints. And some of them have even become saints, like St. Catherine Laboure. But at the end of the day, even the visionaries who are super holy, who are canonized, we can't trust. Why? Well, because look at St. Catherine Laboure. She's a saint. She had locutions of God. She heard the voice of God. And guess what? Pope Benedict XV said, even though she had legitimate encounters, grace encounters of God, her interpretation of what God spoke to her was filled with errors. Her writings were filled with theological errors. Did she have an encounter with God in prayer? Yes. But because she's an imperfect human being, she sometimes misunderstood what God was saying to her. And so when she wrote about what God said to her, she was off the mark. So even the saints, we can't turn to, and this isn't isolated to her, even the apostles in the Gospels. The apostles walked with Jesus. They walked with God. They heard Jesus speak to them. They listened to the voice of God through Jesus. And they still also quite often misinterpreted what God was saying to them. How many times in the Gospels did Jesus have to correct them? No, that's not what I meant. So the saints, men, have heard the voice of God, but they still misunderstood God. They also are not infallible. Their writings are not infallible. So where do we go? How do we prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ, which will come at some time in history? When, where, we don't know. But we ought to be vigilant, as Jesus says, and keep watch. We ought to be alert. So if I can't turn to the clergy, and if I can't turn to the theologians, and I can't turn to the mystics, where do I turn? Where do I go? I'm going to propose this Advent season that we turn to two disciples and we imitate their way of preparing for the coming of Jesus. And those two disciples who I'm going to encourage us to look to are Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, because they prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus. And so if we can imitate the way they prepared for the first coming of Jesus, then we can prepare our hearts for the second coming of Jesus Christ. How did they prepare? Both Mary and Joseph prepared for their encounter with God, for their relationship with God that they abided in their walk toward eternity. They both prepared prior to the angel Gabriel's visitations, by rooting themselves and by devoting themselves to time set apart in prayer with the Old Testament scriptures. Now, in their lifetime, They did not call them Old Testament scriptures because there was no New Testament yet. So they just had scriptures. They had the Pentateuch, Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. They had the Psalms of King David, the Proverbs. They had the writings of the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And Mary and Joseph were rooted in these inspired and infallible texts that was written by people who were totally inspired by God. This text has no errors in it. That's what they were rooted in. That which is infallible. The Word of God. Mary was so rooted in the voice of God in sacred scripture that when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, she was able to discern that this angel was an angel of the Lord and not a devil, not a demon, not a fallen angel, because she knew the voice of God. She knew the voice of God because she spent time with the voice of God in the Word of God, in the Bible. That's what she prioritized. The Bibles, words, the letters that became canonized later on in history. The Word of God. St. Joseph was rooted in the Scripture. That's why when Mary came home to Joseph one day and she was pregnant, he never thought she cheated on him, because the Word of God said Joseph was a just man and a righteous man. And according to the Old Testament Scriptures, a just and a righteous man is a man who's rooted in the Scriptures. He knew what the prophet said, that there would come a day when a virgin would give birth. He recognized that Mary was that virgin that was prophesied about in the Scriptures. And in that moment he said, I am not worthy to accompany her. I'm not worthy to walk with her, so I'm going to divorce her quietly to free her so she can do what God has called her to do. And he went away and he prayed more. And because he was so rooted in prayer with the Scriptures, when the angel appeared to him, he knew it was the voice of God speaking to him through an angel. And he immediately went and took Mary back into his home. And he and Mary together prepared the way to encounter the Christ, Jesus. They abided in relationship with Jesus on earth. And now they remain with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity because they were rooted in the Word of God. So we ought to then, therefore, imitate them. Though we can't always trust our priests, though we can't always trust theologians or mystics, we can always trust the inspired, infallible Word of God, the sacred Scriptures. And if we root ourselves in this Word and devote ourselves to this Word, then we too will be prepared for the coming of Christ, not only in the end time, but in the present moment. Because when we read the Word of God tells us to be baptized. In 1 Peter 3:21, we hear how baptism is not some symbol, but baptism is salvific. It draws us to abide in communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us through the voice of Jesus Christ himself that the apostles and their successors have received the power and the authority to absolve sins. The Word of God tells us that the Eucharist really becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And if we receive the Eucharist, we will abide in God. We will have eternal life. This is the Scriptures reveal all these truths to us and prepare us to encounter Jesus today, and will prepare us for the second coming of Christ whenever that happens in the future as well. And so this Advent season, rather than prioritizing a bunch of different spirituality books, rather than prioritizing a bunch of blogs or YouTube videos from theologians, rather than reading the writings of mystics or focusing just on what the priests and the bishops and the cardinals are saying on their social media pages or even in their homilies, I want to encourage us this Advent season to prioritize the Word inscribed, the sacred Scriptures. It's like 15 minutes a day. Just 15 minutes a day. Spend that time with the Word of God. Read the Bible more than we read a blog. If we can take 45 minutes out of our day to watch a documentary, then we can take 45 minutes out of our day to read the Scriptures. Read the Bible more than we watch television. Read the Bible more than we listen to different people's podcasts. Unless it's mine, then you're fine. Just joking. No, I'm not. I'm joking. No, but the Bible, prioritize Jesus' word. Because if we imitate Joseph, if we imitate Mary, then just like they were prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, we will be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ in the future, whenever that is. And if we are alert and on watch when he comes, then we will abide in holy communion with him on earth. And if we abide in holy communion with God on earth, then he promises us that we will remain in holy communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not only on earth, but most importantly, forever in the kingdom of heaven.